Last time on Wanderlust. As soon as you're a mile or two away from that main big river, it starts to return to the forest that you're used to seeing. Almost an immediate return to wildlife. Almost like there's like a pretty strict barrier where you stop seeing the builder beetles changing the environment. Most of you kind of like realize you can see like this weird dip in the land in front of you, but the lack of light is making that difficult.
Can I shine a flashlight not directly down to see if I can see something without like shining it into something's eyes?
As you like start getting closer and closer to the bottom, bodies starting to move down there of some sort, you kind of stop your light just in time to see several somethings are like running along back and forth through there. And then you like douse your light right as you see something kind of like larger, like taller than those other things walking along with them. And then you like turn off your light. And you just kind of get like the vague shadow of this thing walking past.
Well, last time we went into a creepy crevice in the ground, I found all this really cool metal, but I don't think I want to go down there.
Nope, I vote we get far away from here.
You actually see like a collapsed stone building. As you walk into it, you could see, you know, like collapsed seating, maybe an altar at the front to something old and forgotten, you know.
So as a child in a situation like this, obviously I'm on the other side. What do I do as a parent to be like, don't do that, but not say that?
I don't think there's anything you can do to change his mind. You raise Matthew to be a good person, and you can't take that back.
Damn it.
And nor do I think you really want to.
I am so glad to see you again, friends.
She's going to bring out another packet of those spices that she gave to Hugo. You know, this might not be something that's the most precious to me, but it is something that reminds me of my son, and it's something that I think maybe could act as a gift.
Are you keeping something from changing?
I am nothing but change.
Are those giant bug creatures new in your domain?
Yes, and they are as fascinating as you, and you will meet soon.
You wake up and, you know, like kind of are groggy, you open your eyes and look down and just see like, say like a fist-sized stone sitting on your chest.
She wants to find some green foliage and make like a leaf mask so that her face, her purple face, can be concealed.
That's a really good idea. Yeah. All of you wake up. As I said last time, Estelle, there's like a little hollow egg feeling thing kind of resting on your abdomen when you awake. Feels a little bit hollow, but all of you are in this sort of broken down church, and it's up to you. What's everyone doing? Where are you going? What's your plans?
I think we're so we had gone a tile ahead.
Yep.
And so I think we're going back into that tile and then continuing east, if I remember correctly.
Yes. That is correct. So you want to keep following along the river?
Yes.
If that's where the track or the devastation
you
seems
see
to
the
be.
Most insects heading along the river still in this forest, yeah.
Then yes.
The further you get from the river, the less immediate impact there is. So I just need everyone to make me them navigation rolls to see how well you move through the wilds.
Okay, I am going to roll that, but I'm curious if, because we're going to walk by that crevice that we didn't want to stay by last night.
That's true.
If we like look down, can we see a little bit better in the daylight, or is it just not as, is it still hard to see down?
You can make a pit stop on your way, yeah.
I don't need to make a pit stop, I was just curious, but.
Well, that's, if you want to look down it, you have to stop there and look down it, you know?
4.
5.
It's a good thing you guys are all rolling well, because I got a -2.
Whew.
I rolled real bad.
Estelle, what'd you roll?
Plus 4. And that's just to keep walking.
All right. So, you said you wanted to move back, and then, all right.
Yeah, we're back to the crevice, and then
yep,
moving towards the river east.
I just have to remember how to reveal areas, so. All right, and that puts you in Y53. Okay, actually, no, because that would be 1, 2, we'll put you in Y55.
Yeah, so we move straight east twice, and yep, the river kind of curves up and down towards us. So do we have to cross a little stream? Is that what I'm seeing?
Yeah, so we're going to get to that here.
Okay.
All right, so as you're heading into this tile, right, so you walk back towards the river, and as you get to sort of around that intersection where the trees thin out and there was that first little offshoot from the river, like, I'll say this is the morning that you guys are walking through, right? So you start heading south, you start getting into those builder beetles again. It pretty immediately starts looking kind of alien already, you know, as you've gotten this far. Once you get to that intersection of the river again, the one that you guys originally hit before, you see the carcass of that big bird just, like, landed on the beach dead.
Oh, no.
You can, like, kind of see it from a ways off. It's one of those things that is rarely seen, the body of a bird, and you just see that as you're walking past. So then you start following along the river again, and you get to another small little creek that's leading out. All right. You know, there is, like, random generation in this game, right? And it's bad for you guys this time as it happens.
We haven't had anything good yet.
No, you really haven't. This has been all bad as you've been going. So as you kind of walk through the wood here, something that you notice is there's way more devastation. There's more trees knocked over. You can see way more obvious structures being built by the builder beetles, not just like, oh, you know, they've planted some seeds and knocked some stuff over. You can actually see, like, it seems like they've been intentional about removing and clearing forest plant life. You see more frequent, like, dead animal bodies. So instead of them having gotten away, they were killed. And you come up to another, like, T in the river. So there's, like, a main big river that at this point is almost, like, a mile across, right? It's a big river that you're right on the bank of that this devastation seems to have followed. There's a little offshoot stream coming off of it that you're going to have to either cross or not. So the tile that you're in, the stream, like, bisects this tile, right? So if you want to get across this tile, you're going to have to go over the river. But on the riverbank, like, right on that riverbank, on the other side, you can just see tons of, like, holes dug into the ground. Like, is it, like, tryptophobia? Is that that thing where, like, holes bother you? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Agoraphobia, I thought it was.
No, there's, like, a thing where, like, this, like, dots, like, patterns of dots freak you out.
Yeah, like, gross you out. So it looks like kind of like a honeycomb dug into the opposite shore where, like, those pits dug in are maybe, you know, big enough that two of you could crawl in at the same time, you know, side by side. And as you come up to that riverbank and you look up, you can see, like, the weather is changing, right? You can see, like, a bank of clouds in the sky. It's not, like, storms yet, but it's just sort of like you're walking into overcast from what was, like, a pretty sunny summer day behind you. And you're now walking, like, you can see the shade from these clouds almost as, like, a hard line here. That it's, like, it just gets dark, drippier, more, I don't want to say grim looking, but all the colors are muted ahead of you. And it's also barely forested ahead of you.
Well, I think we might have found what we're looking for. Can't say I'm overjoyed, but I'm glad we found it, right?
Oh, you know, honestly, I wouldn't complain if that's what it is. Because if we don't have to keep going towards whatever's on the other side of that, on the other beach there, I don't mind that. So you said it's mostly, like, trees are mostly down. Mm-hmm. Is there anything to the north of us with any kind of cover?
So do you just kind of want to do a general check for, like, what is around this area that you're in, like, north, south, east, west?
Sure.
Okay, go ahead. I can give you some more details, but I'll say that requires some researching around this tile.
It's a plus one.
Okay, so with a plus one, when you look to your north, this like bank of clouds that's up in the sky, like I don't know, you've seen like when you see like a storm front roll in, kind of like it is like almost a solid wall.
Yeah.
You can see like that almost like swirling above this area, right? Not as thick. It's not like a thunderhead or anything like that. You know, like I said, smaller, like a smaller amount of clouds cover, but still there. You can see like a solid curving wall that is mostly east, right? To your north, if you went like directly north, that cloud bank is still going to the north, but you can see that it like curves off eventually. So if you went far enough north, you would just get back to regular unchanged forest, right? And it's actually somewhat easy to see because of how intense the deforestation in this immediate area really is, right? It's like pretty bleak how much has been removed from right across this river. This does seem kind of like a barrier line. But to your north, eventually you would hit regular trees, but it's not like one tile to your north. It's you'd have to go for a bit.
Okay. So do we have a plan for encountering this meteorological phenomenon?
It worries me when you're the one asking this, Juliet.
I'd been so distracted by the opportunities for studying botany that I...
Oh, I'm not saying it as an insult. Like,
no, I feel like I'm taking it as an insult, not because of you, but just because I always have a plan for that sort of thing, but I'm at a bit of a loss here.
I kind of think that we need to observe first, because, like, we don't really know what this is. All we know is it's something kind of big, well, big, something big, that's potentially dropping bugs everywhere and bringing in storms. So, you know, whenever, like, if I'm trying to figure out a new animal, I'm going to, like, you know, take notes and photograph it first. And that's the only thing I can think of to at least start with this.
I'm definitely on board for that, for sure.
Hey, Cody, was this thing, what we saw from it before from a distance, was it floating or was it walking?
Walking.
Okay. For some reason in my head, it was like float, like...
Let me rephrase that. You saw a storm and you saw shoulder blades raising and lowering through it.
Okay.
I say shoulder blades. You saw like the top, like something breaking the surface of the clouds, then lowering, breaking the surface of the... And you felt thumps as you did that.
Okay. For some reason, I was thinking sky whale, and I don't know why.
I'll just spoiler it and say it is not a sky whale, not because I want to, like, tell you you're wrong, just because there is, like, factual stuff that makes that not work.
That's completely fine.
We're not feeling thumps right now.
You are not.
Good question.
And we haven't felt thumps when we've moved out here at all.
Also true.
So that would be one observation to make, is any tremors that might tell us if it's actually the same storm creature, or if there are multiple. But yes, I'm all in favor of observation. Just after that part, I have a bit of a question mark as far as planning goes.
Yes, because from, I don't see us, if this thing is as big as we're thinking it is, I don't know if us standing in front of it is going to either get its attention or stop it, or either option.
Fair. We might be beneath its notice, yes.
Yeah, so I don't know if this is something that we're going to have to, I don't know, craft something that makes it look at us, you know? So it's like, hey, we're obviously here. Put a sheet on a giant pole or something, or, you know, on a tree.
That sounds like a great job for Fred.
I don't know if that's something we're going to have to do to, like, get his attention, or maybe it is looking at the ground and looking for things. We don't know if it's a, like, humanoid, or we don't know anything about this.
True.
I mean, I'm sure I could build something that would, like, make a lot of noise to draw its attention, but, yeah, like you said, we don't even know what it is.
Well, I guess we can press on and just think about maybe what our plan of approach is. Just wanted to discuss it before we walked in blindly.
No, I think that's a good idea. I think the second we start feeling tremors, I think we take shelter, or as much shelter as we're going to be able to take, in order to see what we're even going up against. And then depending on what we're seeing, we can go from there. Whether we need to get its attention or, well, we probably will. And whether it's like direct it to us or direct it somewhere else.
I'm just curious how we get its attention enough to get it to move far enough away that's meaningful.
I don't know. we can cross that bridge when we come to it.
Right, I'm not trying to be like poke holes in our plan. Well, I am trying to poke holes in our plan so that we don't like get stomped by a giant thing.
In any case, we have some semblance of a plan and I feel much better now.
At least some way to start.
We continue on.
Yeah. So when you say you continue on, do you mean you attempt to cross this river?
Yes.
Okay, one, how wide is the river and like how deep? And two, are the holes on the other side of the river?
The water running through this area is pretty muddy, especially with all the recent turbulence in the area. You can almost see erosion happening now that so much plant life has been ripped up. So the river is running pretty muddy. I will also say the river is running high. So you can see over on the other side of the bank, which is maybe, let's call it the width of a football field away from you where you're standing right now.
Oh, geez.
You can see that it's like width, not length, by the way, though.
Still, though, that's big.
Still pretty far.
No, that's really long. That's really wide.
It's pretty far, but it's not as far. You know, something, this might also be the result of me spending very little time on football fields. But anyways, I'm going with width of a football field.
This is like the width of like the Mississippi River is what it sounds like.
Right where you guys are, yes, because this is like where it diverges from a very large, like I said, the river that you are on the bank of that you've been following at this point is something like a mile wide. It's very big. So it's essentially at this point a lake that is flowing. Anyways.
We might want to go north, though.
Yeah.
I've also realized that Cody can't judge sizes of anything when he saw what 15 feet was, and he's like, I didn't mean the Blighthounds to be that
big. This should be big. Like, this is a very large body of water that you're standing on a corner of. There's a reason that this area was chosen. But anyways, bank of the river, call it a football field width across to the other side, or you can go around. The water isn't, like, rushing. It isn't, like, rapids. But on the other side, you can see where all those holes are punched into the bank. Some of them have already, like, there's water that's poured into them, and they've flooded a little bit.
So I'm thinking we probably want to go see if we go north a little bit and see if we can kind of get around the wider part of this river. But I'm actually kind of wondering now if maybe this has nothing to do with, like, how we're going to cross it. I'm wondering if these holes need to be directly by water to flood.
Oh, that makes some ecological sense. If that's why they're being dug there, so they can flood, get adequate water in order to start their germination process.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
All right, Cody, I gotta ask another question. Are these holes the seed big, or are they like...
Much bigger.
They're much bigger, okay.
In any case, I'm in favor of going north and not crossing the river here, just because everything I've read suggests that you should avoid getting wet while camping.
Well, and we're probably going to if we're going to hit a storm.
Should we do anything to interrupt this process? Like, obviously that's dangerous, and I know, like, I'm not one to avoid danger. So, like, I understand, like, any eye rolls I'd be getting, but also, this seems not natural.
I think this is kind of what we talked about yesterday, where I agree with you. I don't think this is natural, but I don't... There are a lot of holes over there, and not only will we have to get over there, so first we got to figure out how to cross, and then we would have to come back to them. Then, with that many holes, I don't know what we could do, and they're like... You and I could both fit down those, so I'm going to guess those are for the actual beetles. You know, it's not like just planting seeds.
Right.
And Fred says those things were pretty difficult to even fight.
Yeah, their carapaces are pretty hard. They took a blow to the head before I could kill it.
Is there anything Fred could do Fred, to disrupt the structural integrity of the holes? But I guess they're already flooding with water, so...
I mean, yeah, if we can get over there, I could maybe rig up something, but it's a bit far right now. I don't know if I can make something that could mess them that far away.
And Fred invents mortars.
Right.
Alright, I think for now we're going north.
Going north. Okay, love it. So make me that same roll again for navigation, and then we'll see how far you get.
4, 3, 6, 1.
Oh, I see what part of the river. Are you talking about the part of the river in Y-57?
Yeah, I had to scoot you guys back so I could see the tile. Sorry, I know that's confusing. I have to, like, move the tile so I can see it. But basically, you guys go here.
I thought you were talking about the crossing in Y-53. I'm like, that's not a football field.
No, yeah, it was right here, okay. Which you can't see, but yeah. So you follow the river, right, up north, this, like, random split off. The elevation is decreasing down as you go, and you can see that the river... The path that it usually would have taken was through, like, a densely wooded river, right? This thing flows down through. Most of the trees on one side of the bank have been ripped up or have fallen. This is good and bad for you. On the one hand, it means that, like, the landscape is fundamentally changing pretty quick. There was recently a lot of rainfall and a lot of missing trees, so it's pretty easy at this point to find a tree branch that crosses over. So that's, what, 1, 2, 3, and then we'll say 4. So I'll say at this point, you kind of have a choice of, you basically can get around to the tile that you saw those holes on the other side of, if you would like. This trip takes you to about midday, right? There's like a lot of walking through this, and it's a really distinct cut that you were walking along, right? You can see this border where, like, along this river tributary, on one side of it, it's like the forest is different, but not wholly ripped up. On the other side is, like, desolate. Knocked down trees, mud almost caking everything. You see way more of these holes burrowed into this riverbank. Like, tons of this stuff, right? It almost looks like an alien world right across this river. And when you guys find this crossing and start to walk over, it's really profoundly uncomfortable. Like, it sort of makes you feel sick as you walk under this, like, shadow of this storm that's still kind of, like, cycling above your head right here. Like, it really feels like suddenly walking into an alien world, right? The landscape is totally different. Now the double suns that are usually beating down on the planet are blocked, and you can, like, feel that little bit of chill as you walk down into, like, much moister, different air. And it's like a slightly sickening feeling that you get the more you walk down into this area, and it's like, oh, this is very wrong. Like, this is extremely strange. Like, behind you, verdant, multicolored forest. In front of you, all of that is knocked over, caked in mud, and you just see tons of these little holes, right? Scattered all throughout this area. And as you look further, like, across this landscape that you're now, like, just crossed into, it's like looking across Mordor, right? It's all of a sudden flat. The geography here isn't all that complicated, right? It is actually, like, fairly level. There aren't a ton of mountains here. So you can see for quite a ways. Like, you can see where the river kind of bends its way around, and you can tell that this desolation focuses around the river, right? And you can see the further you look in front of you, like a few miles in front of you, you can see a, like, darker, angrier storm clouds there. But then as you look across this field, you can see movement pretty consistently and pretty easily because everything's leveled off so much. Like, you can see insects crawling over it, like, way off in the distance, which is pretty rare if you're in, like, a densely forested area. Just being able to see, like, animals out is unusual, but it's like, here it's like tons. Like, if you look at it, it's like looking at an anthill. You can see tons of this weird movement, just as it's like hard to pinpoint any certain thing, but you can just see movement along this landscape as you see something crawl up and then crawl back down. So what direction do you all want to move in? Do you want to keep following the river? Is there anywhere else that you want to investigate? Oh, and then you're on the bank now that has those holes, so if you want to investigate those, that's up to you.
I would like to investigate the holes.
Okay. Tell me what that looks like to you.
I'm going to use my skill of investigate.
let me be more specific. Are you, like, getting out a flashlight and crawling in, or are you...
I'm going to use my glowy grabby to stick it down in the hole and illuminate it.
Okay.
And see what's there.
Okay. Okay, go ahead and roll me that investigate.
2.
So that's successful, and I'll say since you used your item, you add 1 shift, because that's kind of how we discussed items working. So essentially, that's working like a +3,
okay.
Which means you can ask me 2 questions.
Okay. What signs of life are here?
Ask me 1 more, and then I'll answer that.
All right, gang, I was going to ask how deep it is. I don't know how important that is. If there's something else more important that I should ask.
That's not a bad question. I will say that.
Yeah, I think I like that one.
Okay. How deep is it? What signs of life are there?
So you shine the light down in. As you look, you don't see the bottom, right? Just like basically cavernous emptiness, right? Just into a void. And as you sit there for a while, that darkness just seems to like undulate and then slither away, right?
Okay.
I say slither, not necessarily like a snake, but just like something long and alive moves its way out of like across the tunnel. So if you imagine you have a hole, you're looking at it like this.
Mm-hmm.
Whoop, it goes bloop, right across the opening, right?
Yeah.
And as soon as that happens, you just see eyes staring up at you. This is maybe, let's call it 10 yards away from you. You just see like two orb-like glowing eyes that you would guess at this distance maybe are the size of softballs, just staring up at you.
Like 10 yards down?
Yes.
Okay.
And as you shine that light, it's like you lock eyes with it and pause. I actually have to go run and grab a notebook that I left upstairs. Sorry, 2 seconds.
The suspense.
You lock eyes with it and then...
To be continued!
So you lock onto these eyes and you hear a rapid song playing. This is extremely complicated and musical. It has like a major key and a melody to it. Generally, it's moving upward in pitch, but there's like in... What's the right word for this?
Undulation.
There's variance to that. Yeah, so there's undulation to that. And the eyes move closer. And as they get closer, you see a face that's like this big, maybe. Think, what's about that shape?
Like a dartboard.
Two of our heads. Yeah, dartboard sized head coming towards you. It's kind of narrow with these two big eyes on either side. It's smooth but detailed. You can see like cracks where you might imagine a mouth, but that is not moving. And it is a far more complicated, like, swirling color change pattern. So there's, like, patches of different colors all over it. And this inflection changing up and down as it stares up at you. And now this is where I get to ask a fun question. Is your mask up or down right now?
My mask was not down right now. It was up.
Do you mean you're wearing the mask or not wearing the mask?
It is on top of my head, not on my face.
Okay. So that song keeps repeating like this complicated upward melody that plays for a while, then just resets, plays for a while, then resets. And as you shine the light down and look at this thing coming towards you, the swirling colors on its face are taking on a more purple and purple and purple hue with overtones of red. And you see more and more eyes like lighting up and coming towards you.
From, like, on the same thing, or...
Like, in the same hole.
Okay.
And then all of you feel, like, rumbling in the ground. Not like footfalls, like you feel a lot of impacts of feet as things are crawling towards these holes.
I'm going to retract my glowy grabby, back up, and be like, Estelle, I think your talents are going to be needed soon.
I can hear the music, right?
Yeah, you can definitely hear the music.
I'll put my mask over my face too, by the way.
When you put that mask over your face, the song changes and its face also likewise changes. It takes on somewhat more green hues and the song becomes not necessarily downward facing, but just like up and down inflection staying on like a same note. Like imagine no key change, just like just like holding steady. As the nicest way to describe this is a cricket that's roughly 5 feet tall crawls out of this thing. It clearly can walk on like all eight. I think crickets have six legs. Anyways.
Six.
It can clearly walk on all six legs. And as it gets up to you though, it stands upright on like two very strong looking back legs. It's two sets of front legs, much smaller, and ending in just like two goopy little like suction cuppy ends on either side. And to look at for you now, just like blank green face, this thing like is pinching its little fingers. Its face is swirling with tons of colors, all of a green hue, and it just sounds like crazy music is playing from it.
Estelle's gonna take out her kalimba, and she's gonna play. It's not the equivalent of like chopsticks. It's like more than that, but it's not like she's not playing Bach, you know. It's like a pretty simple song that she like remembers from years and years and years and years and years ago when her mom taught her.
Gotcha. Make me some kind of convince check.
Well, it doesn't matter, because I don't have that, but can I use my kalimba?
Any kind of check here that you think is relevant for what you're doing. Like, it doesn't have to be convinced.
Or animal handling.
Definitely, that's... Yeah, that works. That works. You're trying to use your animal senses here.
Plus four.
So, you start playing this song, and at first, this creature was very much staring at Juliet. It kind of rocks back and forth, looks over, sees you, and the song changes briefly. Its face turns bright red and then goes back to like this kind of swirling, complicated green pattern. And then four builder beetles crawl out of the caves next to you, these tunnels. And then like farther up on the bank, you see like two more of those large praying mantis looking things all coming over. All of them have very simple color patterns on their face, and they're all red. And just kind of staring down as this big looking 5 feet tall. So it's a little bit shorter than you, right? But this kind of walking grasshopper sort of toddles somewhat awkwardly up to you on its hind legs. And as you're playing, it reaches out one suction cupped finger and rests it on the kalimba as you play. And it tilts its head to the side and tries to match what you're playing. And then just sort of, like, stares at you, tilting its head from side to side, just matching what you're playing. And I will say it does that immediately with no practice or effort perfectly. You play a melody, and it just starts doing that melody on repeat. Just immediate. Like, almost sounding exactly like that kalimba? Is that what it's called?
Yeah. God, I hate this. All I can think right now is just to keep doing that. So it's matching what I'm playing. Okay, I'm gonna switch it up real quick and do like, I want to do the like, you know when you're like a kid and you're on piano and you just like run your hands over the keys?
Yeah.
A gliss.
Yeah, a gliss. I want to do that going up because I'm wondering if that's like
a question.
Exactly, like a question.
Its face goes solid green. And then its song just starts playing downward, like,
I mimic what it does.
And it like, visibly relax and kind of, like, doesn't sit, but kind of, like, crouches down on these, like, spindly legs. It almost seems like it'd be ready to leap, you know? As it kind of sways back and forth, and its face slowly goes back to that swirling pattern of color. That's very, like, complex and different, and its tone becomes far more neutral, but it still is very musical to your ears, like, playing some weird, complicated melody off. And then it does that for a few moments, then stares at you again, shakes again, and reaches out to, like, try to take the kalimba from you.
I let it, but let me ask real quick. You said it returned to, like, complicated colors. Is that, like, that purple?
It would be
it's like mottled green versus solid.
Mottled green, but it's like patched swirls of other colors, like tons of them though. Like this is like, imagine melting a box of every green kind of crayon into a puddle and swirling it around. It is mostly green, but many, many, many different tones and streaks all scattering through its face.
Okay.
It takes it in its hand and starts to play with it. Kind of curiously, tilts its head, and then it doesn't... Okay, you rolled really well on your animal handling, right?
I think a four is really well.
Yeah. It starts to back towards the cave, holding the kalimba in its hand, and it's still kind of playing on it, and you can recognize it's sort of like figuring out melodies that you've figured out, that you had played for it before.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks down into the cave and looks back at you and just kind of like gestures, like points into the cave, still playing on the kalimba and trying to sort of playing like ascending patterns on it. and it gestures down into the cave again, and it, like, tilts its head, still playing ascending patterns, its face green, seemingly pretty, like, happy, just little ascending melodies on the kalimba.
Estelle, we need that.
Estelle takes one step towards the cricket in the hole, and then she turns around and, like, gestures at everyone, and then looks back at the cricket.
The cricket, its face stays green, and the tone, like, the song that it's playing becomes descending over and over and over, and then neutral again, and it just keeps playing on this little thing as it stares at you and the rest of the group.
Okay, she turns back to the group. Okay, so I think I'm pretty sure we're okay with this right now. I'm gonna need my kalimba back, so I'm gonna follow it. Do you all want to come, or does one person want to come with me?
I'll come with you.
Autumn and Fred?
Hey, how big are these holes, Cody? Like, in diameter.
So as I said, like, basically, let's go diameter of 6 feet.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Wide enough that two of you could crawl in at the same time, so two shoulder widths apart. They're big. They're not small.
I can go with. Let me get something on my face real quick. Can I put some chalk on my face so I'm not red?
You definitely can put chalk on your face, yeah.
What color chalk do I have?
I would say all of them.
I go for green, then.
So the thing's playing on the kalimba, and it sees you, like, get chalk and put chalk, like, green chalk on your face, and it rushes up to you. The song becomes a lot more erratic and confused. Its face turns, like, green with a strong hue of yellow and a little bit of red as it comes up and, like, stands right in front of you like a prairie dog and holds its hands out for, like, what you're holding, right? Like, this box of chalks.
I give it some chalk. Not, like, all of it, but some of it.
As you hand it a piece of chalk, it, like, you see it, like, drawing on its skin and looking at it. Very confused.
Zach invents bug tattoos.
And it, like, rubs it on its hand and then, like, reaches up and touches your face and, like, smears a little bit of it away, seeing the red underneath. And it reaches in and gets, like, a very specific hue of green and just kind of smears it on your face and then nods and reaches down, and you hear its song change a little bit, and, like, a slug about the size of, like, a Twinkie is in its hand, and it just, like, puts it in your hand and nods, and then turns around and goes back towards the cave.
You have made a trade. Congratulations.
I was gonna say, Autumn's a mom now. Proud slug mom.
I need shirts that has, like, a chibi Autumn holding a slug. Proud slug mom.
So do you follow this thing into like, the weird tunnel?
Fred, you coming?
Well, I'd be lying if I said I wanted to go in there, but I guess I don't really want to stay out here by myself, so yeah, I guess I'm coming.
Where's your sense of adventure, Fred?
I think I left it back at Smoky Banks.
So you crawl down into this tunnel. It immediately gets very dark. Do you guys want to try to produce light?
I can get out my glowy grabby so that it's, like, on my shoulder, illuminating somewhat.
Okay, have a little spotlight.
Yeah.
Is my spearhead still have residual
light? I think it would still be glowing, yeah. It would probably still be releasing a little bit of light.
I mean, I'm walking with that, so I'd have that.
Estelle's gonna take out her flashlight with that metal.
When you guys turn on the light, the grasshopper in front of you turns around, looks at you, and its face just becomes crazy color, and the song gets way more complicated, and then it just shrugs and just goes back. Like, it's like it gave up. Walks back into the cave, and as you go down, you see that it widens out, and as you look at the walls, they're very low. Like, you feel a little claustrophobic being in here. It's very soft and smooth and wet. So you, like, walk down into this opening that's maybe only as big as this basement room, right? So, you know, like, 10 by 20 little space that's maybe only 6 feet tall, smooth curved dirt walls that you feel like are just designed to collapse in. You guys all walk in. The cricket's still there, hunched in front of you, its face this kind of green color, its song still going, and at this point now it's kind of like bobbing back and forth cheerily. It still has the kalimba that it's playing on, and then it gestures over to like one side of the wall, and you look over, and there is, I mean, the worst mouth you've ever seen in your life. Just way too huge, this fleshy giant opening in the wall, like sticking out of the wall. It is like extended and like kind of breathing in and out. It looks damp. There's like sort of teeth on the front that you can see dirt caked into. And it's like about exactly the diameter of these holes, you know? And the cricket looks away from you. Its face turns red, like solid red, and then like a somewhat more complicated red and green pattern. And its song becomes just like bzz, bzz. And then you see like beetles just crawling into the mouth, like one after the other, as they're just wedging themselves back into this mouth. You see a praying mantis like wedge itself in as this thing is just packed full of insects. And then the cricket is just like playing on the kalimba and just like looking pointedly at the mouth, like,
okay, like, I'm already uncomfortable being down here. I'm not crawling in a giant mouth.
I agree. I draw the line there.
Like, I don't know. It's really uncomfortable being down here. So I don't really want to stay down here too much longer. What is the kalimba that important?
Yes, that's like our lifeline to communicate in the vaguest way possible that we have with these creatures.
As you guys talk, it like clearly hears you, and it like skitters around and like looks at the kalimba and then back at you guys and just like walks over and hands the kalimba back and then is just kind of like its face swirls some patterns. The song gets complicated for a second and then it just crawls into the mouth of this thing.
All right, excellent. We can leave now. Let's get out of here.
Where's your sense of adventure, Autumn?
Autumn's leaving.
I will say this is a fork, but it's not like one fork leads to the good end and one fork leads to the bad end. One fork leads to one end and the other fork leads to another end. Neither is good or bad.
I was going to say one fork leads to an end and one fork leads to a mouth. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, like a really bad looking mouth. It's
is this the end of the tunnel?
So the tunnel leads down, hits this room. There's a mouth that you would assume is attached to a very long, like, centipede-like thing. And then if you shine your light the other direction, it just keeps going forever, right? This is like, you can see a hole that this thing is slithered down.
Okay. Are there any new bugs that we see down here besides the mouth?
The grasshopper is very different from what you've seen before. The complexity right. of the coloring on its face, its size is way smaller, and it has been more expressive than other things. But mm-hmm. then you just see the builder beetle and the, what's it called? The, you got that slug as well. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So is no one going to mention how we referenced the kalimba, the bug then gave it back? Does it understand us?
It seems a bit more sentient than maybe other things that we've encountered.
Estelle's going to take, like, two steps towards one of the other tunnels and, like, lift up her flashlight to look down it. Do I see any other mouths?
Oh, that's an interesting question that I hadn't actually considered. No, you don't. When you say mouths, you mean things like this.
Yes.
No, you would not see any other of those. But like if you shine your light down the tunnel leading away from here, right?
Yeah.
It goes on for like your light dies out before it hits a wall. It's just like yeah. gone into darkness.
All right. I think Estelle looks back at the cricket that she's been communicating with and she does a down gliss and like shakes her head. And then, like, leaves.
When you play that down note and then start to leave, you see the cricket sticking its head out of this mouth, and nothing changes, but the big giant maw just snaps shut, and then the thing just, like, starts shooting across the floor, and, like, way too long of a centipede shoots past you guys into the darkness just far off. into this tunnel, leaving.
Did it murder the cricket?
You don't know.
Either that or transportation.
Well, you just said, like, the like it stuck its head out and then the jaw snapped shut.
It didn't, like, decapitate it. It was, like, looking out of the maw and then the maw shut, like, around it. Okay. Not, like, cutting its head off. Sorry.
You made it sound like it stuck its head off and then, like, bear trapped it.
No, it did not. That did not happen.
Yeah, I think we leave the tunnel and keep walking east. Are there still bugs up top?
So when you walk up and look around, you don't see any immediate bugs right around you, but you can definitely keep heading off east if you would like.
Well, that was an interesting detour.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Keep going toward the storm?
Let's do that.
Okay. So you guys crawl back out of this tunnel. Everyone make me your next marching check.
7.
1.
I got a 3.
2. They've gotten better each time. -2, -1, -2.
Yay.
Okay, so this is going to be kind of fun.
Another horrible tile for us?
Sounds like it. I don't actually know, because I haven't seen Reland yet, so hang on.
We moved far this time, I think.
You did. Yeah, I know exactly where you get to. Hang on one moment. This will be a good place for me to... I don't always like getting the last word, but in this case it works out okay for me to get the last word.
He says he's going to get the last word, but then someone's going to have a good one-liner, like what we off of what he says.
So you make your way across this desolation, right? And the ground beneath your feet is different as you walk. It's far softer and muddier, like almost like freshly tilled soil. You reach areas where you can see that there clearly used to have been a river here that is just filled in with mud, like the rolling hills that used to be covered in trees just fell into the river as you walk. And as you do, the sky gets darker and darker and darker as you walk down towards another, like, bend in the river, and you can see another tributary leading off, right? This is kind of like a low area that's just very wet, tons of rivers leading off from it. But as you go and it starts getting darker, you start feeling like drops of precipitation hitting your head. It's starting to rain a little bit. It's getting colder and colder as you're walking. The sun is getting less and less as both it's setting and the clouds are getting denser above you. And you can see, like, as you walk, another one of those swirling banks where it suddenly gets dark and is not like a downpour, but like a steady rainfall is, like, right in front of where you are, right? You hit a point where it's like, well, we either have to, like, turn around or we're walking in the rain for a little while. So this march gets far drearier as you're slopping through muck and mud trying to find some place to set up and stop, realizing that, like, you're getting tired, you're getting hungry, it's very wet, there's not a lot of good places to be anymore, you know? As this trip is getting more and more grim. And eventually, so you can see where I've revealed on the map, basically where you guys get to is Y63, right? Which is, here, right? So that's another branch in the river.
So we've gone further east. So we got another branch of the river going north, offshooting from the rest of the river going east.
Yep. So we'll say you hit, like, a small hill, you climb up it, crest the hill, and then go down towards this other branch in the river, right? But when you hit the top of this hill, you get, for the first time, like, a somewhat decent vantage point on the next few winds of this river, and you're brought up short by something that sort of would make your blood run cold. Far off across, like, a very thick part of the river where you can see there's, like, a large swooping curve. This area, like I said, it's almost lake-like here. You can see, like, around the bend of a lake. You're up at a high enough elevation, though, that you can see over the river down into what looks like a city-sized hornet's nest. Piles of mud reaching up into the sky, all on this little, like, hill. There's, like, a colony of insects way off in the distance. You know, like, those, like, dirt tubes that, like, form up from, like, bugs piling mud up and making little holes. A city of those stretches for, like, as big as Smoky Banks, just piled up on the other side of this river. Now, this is miles away from you, right? So if I reveal more of the map, you can see this, like, bug colony stretching up towards the sky. And when you look at it, it's, again, that sort of, like, weird staring at an ant's nest movement. It's just chaos of these bugs swarming over each other, crawling up and down, and leaving this area, coming back to it. But you see that way off in the distance.
Wanderlust isn't fun anymore.
Okay, so that's the end line. Thanks, Mandy. Thanks for listening to this episode of Wanderlust. Music for this show is credited down below. If you like this campaign, you can find more of our shows at the Wandering Gamer website or on Podbean. You can also find us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. Links in the description. Now bear in mind, in the wilds, some wander to get lost, and some wander to find themselves.